whichever way you look at it, it's a sizable market with affluent people who are open to trying new things, to trying new brands, to trying new ways of payment. So I think it's always been interesting to come to the Netherlands.
Welcome to the Do Change Marketing Now podcast. I'm super happy to be here with my wonderful colleague Jos Lakeman.
Hello, Matthias.
From Amsterdam. Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Benelux market today, and especially because you have so much experience with consumer brands in the Benelux market. But this is where we dive deep in today. So welcome, everyone, to the show, Do Change Marketing Now podcast, live on air, this time live from Munich.
Munich, indeed.
It's basically the Oktoberfest edition. Dive right into it, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So first of all, you come directly from Amsterdam. That's already clear. But what do you think, from your opinion, what makes the Dutch and the Belgian market so special and so interesting for D2C brands?
Of course, a lot of people think they're very, very small countries, which they are. If you look at the...
If I look on the map, it's small.
The square kilometers. Yeah, it's small. But actually, it's not a small country. Together, it's 30 million people. So that's about half of Italy. And there's only 7 or 8 countries in Europe who have more inhabitants. So it's a very densely populated country, which means that logistically, it's paradise because everything's close by. But also for media, it's interesting because radio is all national in both countries. Out of home, you can reach a nationwide audience relatively cheaply compared to France and Germany, for sure, where out of home is very localized. And that means that you can run a campaign in Belgium and the Netherlands, or either market. That's where you do reach a significant audience, so you get lots of data points, but it doesn't cost you as much as testing or have the same kind of campaign in Germany or France with an effective contact frequency. So you can reach the entire population in your first campaigns, and that's really interesting for a lot of clients.
So when we talk about Netherlands and Belgium, you know, looking there from Germany, you know, you say, okay, one or the other. So, but actually, I know now that the country are different and quite different. What are the main differences between Netherlands and Belgium?
Well, the culture is very different. Also, the way you do business. In the Netherlands, people always say it's more similar to Germany. It's more transactional. We're very much business-like. Most business goes over email. Whereas in Belgium, especially if you're from abroad, it's very important to have a personal touch, to go there in person and to look the people in the eye, have conversations, also have lunch or dinner together. In that sense, it's a more warm culture. It takes more time and also money to invest in relationships there. But once you have the relationships, they're incredibly strong. I first started working in Belgium for my clients in 2012. And some of the relationship I struck in the first year, I still have. And you build on the trust that you get from them. And in the Netherlands, in some senses, it's easier. It's more, like I said, more transactional. But I actually do like the warmth of doing business in Belgium.
That's really cool. So when we come, this is like the culture. So you say one thing is the culture. But when we talk about TV or CTV or the media landscape, what are the main differences there?
Yeah, the Netherlands was a bit of a lagger when it came to addressable TV. Those were the first steps to connect the TV, where Belgium was one of the front runners. And that's just basically coincidental, because in the Netherlands, the telcos and the TV sales houses, TV owners, they were in a power struggle. So nothing happened there for years and years. Whereas in Belgium, one of the telcos owned a TV network. So there it was very easily set up. And we've had addressable TV there for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. Wow. In the Netherlands, they're running the first actual campaigns this year. And in terms of television, the thing is there's very strong local players there. In Belgium, DPG is super strong. They've always been investing lots and lots of money in local content, local productions, which I think has helped them also set up a very strong BVOD offering. And if they do it, then the rest of the market also has to do it, of course.
But talking about the localized content, I think, what is this language thing in Belgium? You know?
I always advise brands I want to test in Belgium. And also the Netherlands to a lesser extent, that you really have to have localized creative. And that doesn't mean using a Dutch TV ad or Dutch creative for Flanders and the French creative for Wallonia, because in Belgium, language, it's basically two different countries, especially if it comes to media. So the media consumption is divided strictly across the language barrier. So people who are Dutch speaking, they don't watch the French channels and vice versa. And because internally language is so important, you really have to have, like I said, that local aspect. So use Flemish voiceover for your spots and use a Walloon voiceover for your Wallonia spots. And actually, there's too many anecdotes to tell about Belgium and language. One of the ones I always tell is one of the first campaigns in Wallonia was for a very big client who had already spent huge budgets in Flanders and the Netherlands the previous year. And the TV sales house was basically eating out of my hand. They were very flexible, very keen to give us a great deal, keen to sign the future of advertisers, which was a pure player back in 2012. Mm-hmm. And so they have maximum flexibility. And then they told us, hey, wait a minute, the 70% discount in your spot is mentioned as 70, which is the French way of saying 70. And they said, but we say 70, so you have to change it. And I was like, I was very confused. I thought they were kidding. So I was like, okay, next point. But they said, no, it's serious. We can't air this spot. It has to be said 70, so 70% discount. I was like, what? And it took like 3 or 4 emails until I understood they were really serious. And we just had to deliver a new spot just because that one word did not fit the culture. Yeah. So
But it's good that they take care and tell you.
They cherish their culture, but that means that it's also valuable to them. Cool. And then, especially as a foreign advertiser, you really have to mind that and be respectful of it.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit when we talk on advice clients coming from Germany, if they want to go to Switzerland, ideally try a Switzerdeutsch voiceover because it performs better. It's the same thing, but I think here it's a very intentional decision to do it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you have worked with so many big brands now in Belgium and Netherlands and brought like a lot of big brands who are now really huge in the market, just naming brands like HelloFresh or Emma or a used car brand, which is there. And I really want to understand from your experience, is there a common success factor if you look at these kind of brands? Or is that always an individual strategy, how to basically bring a new brand or new service into the Benelux market?
Well, I think the reason HelloFresh and back in the day also Zalando chose the Netherlands as the first market after Germany to really penetrate was because of the advantages that I told you, because the population is relatively e-commerce heavy also. So they're very okay with trying new things. Whereas in Germany, especially with e-commerce, it took much longer for the audiences to trust brands basically. Hey, give us your money and we'll take care of your money and we'll give it to that person. That's not something that was difficult to explain to the German audience. In the Netherlands, that was easier. So choosing the Netherlands was one of the things that I think made it successful. And because, like I said, you have nationwide coverage with most of your media types, especially in the beginning, it's very easy to have performance-oriented analysis of your campaigns. See what works, what doesn't. And really take it market by market. Like I said, Zalando first did, and also HelloFresh first did the Netherlands. Then they shifted southwards to Flanders and then to Wallonia. Take it market by market, analyze the specifics per market, and don't just copy-paste. Definitely not copy-paste what you did in Germany or France. Don't copy-paste what you did in the Netherlands and copy-paste it to Flanders. That won't work. There's always the specifics. You have to really know the local partners. And I think that's difficult if, like those companies, your marketing is being coordinated from abroad, because then you don't see the TV stations, you don't know the local partners, you don't consume the media. So then you have to have a trusted partner who you can look in the eye and who are your eyes and ears in the market. And I think that's very, very important that you find somebody, and of course, I'd like it to be us, but if not, find somebody you can trust and who is your eyes and ears in the market. And because that's the thing. For Belgium, a lot of companies, they don't want to have a separate media agency contact. So the fact that we do that from one shop window is very interesting. So if you find that agency that you can trust, I think that's a very big part of the success, because then you can confidently spend your money.
I think from my experience looking at from, you know, Germany or more from a global brand, or when I talk with global CMOs, usually when somebody tells me, oh, we want to go to Europe, nobody talks about the Benelux.
No.
And so I always have to advise them, maybe this is maybe a good market to start.
Yeah.
So I would be interested in, Did you have a client where it was a very positive surprise for them how Benelux market worked for them?
I would say...
Maybe no names.
No names, indeed. Maybe not a positive surprise, but maybe a surprise in the sense that they first thought that they could crack the market in a different way.
Yeah.
And simply used the same international platforms that they used in other markets and from abroad. So just looking, using Meta and Google and just assuming that if you use that, you reach the same people, it's going to be fine. But then... Yes, there's of course a lot of low-hanging fruit there, but that moment to scale will never come because you need that local and especially also ATL part of the strategy to be able to grow.
Yeah.
Because if you just keep using those international platforms, I think you're never really going to be truly accepted as one of the brands that people love. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we know from studies and research, that once people see you in the real television, talking about YouTube, real television, CTV, people trust you and your brand more.
Of course, yeah.
And then you are actually real. Oh, this is a real brand.
Indeed.
I think this is really interesting. But also you mentioned the fact earlier, it's such a dense population.
Yeah.
So many people, this effect, also looking at that from a German angle, I feel this is so much stronger because once you activate a critical size of your audience, they are much closer together. So they talk more about it and also, they're much more open to it. Where I feel in Germany, you know, if you activate someone in Bavaria, you will probably not talk to someone in Hamburg and say, let's try this new thing.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So for me, also another thing, because you mentioned before significant budgets. So sometimes when we talk about budgets, I know the budgets are very serious. You would not think that, to be honest. You know, if you look at the country, you think it's a small country.
Yeah. I think that's also partly because of the Dutch people. They always say, hey, we're a small country. They always try to be the underdog. But that's, like I said, it's not fair. It's not true.
Yeah.
Sometimes it bothers me because I think people can be a little bit more proud in that sense of that they can bring to brands. But it's definitely a very, very impactful market. Yeah.
So if you have to give a brand... Let's assume I'm a consumer brand and I want to tackle the Benelux market. What is the advice you would give me? What the 1, 2, 3 steps I really have to get right, you know, if I want to tackle the market successfully?
Yeah. Like I said, first find a local partner you can trust who knows the local players, because I already touched upon that the big media owners, that they have strong local platforms. And when you talk about BVOD, CTV, then in Belgium, DPG has VTM Go and Ads & Data has GoPlay. And in the Netherlands, Ad Alliance has Videoland. Local brands that are bigger than most of the international platforms. Bigger than Disney Plus, bigger than HBO Max. Netflix, to be honest, is slightly bigger. But if you don't know where to buy, how to buy, how to use it, and what the impact that those platforms will have, then you're never going to get... a good result on your plans. You're never going to get to reach that critical mass. So that's the thing. Localize your strategy, but also, again, localize your creatives. Also in the Netherlands, everybody speaks English. Whenever there's a colleague from the US coming over, they find it annoying that they can't even learn the local language because everybody speaks English to them. Even though even though everybody does speak English, if you have a brand in the TV, in a break on BVOD or on TV that's English spoken, it stands out. And I think it stands out in the wrong way. So localize your creatives. Yeah.
So I've just framed it in the other way around. So from looking at your experience, 25 years plus, you know, in advertising, media, doing campaigns for a lot of brands, if you look at this, what you think are the 3 main mistakes you should avoid or which have been done? And so where our audience here from the podcast can, you know, these are the 3 things I should definitely avoid.
Yeah.
What you have seen or the traps people maybe have fallen into.
Yeah, it's just not as easy as it looks. So like I said, you can't copy-paste your strategy.
Yeah.
For instance, a couple of months ago, I was talking to somebody about a BVOD campaign in Belgium, and they came up with these huge brands from the US that they wanted to buy. They were Comcast brands and FAF TV brands like Pluto TV, which are relatively big in the UK and also Germany. But if they had used that as their plan in Belgium, they probably would have only reached expats. Mm-hmm. So copy-pasting something, even if it's a big international brand, that's just a no-go. You really, really have to have that localized expertise. And again, like I said, if you're not in the markets, you have to have a trusted partner who can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you simply can't copy-paste even creatively. And apart from that, you should use the media types to their strength in the market. For instance, radio. There's a strong local radio scene here in Germany.
Yes.
So you can have like your campaign in Hamburg, you can A-B test. In the Netherlands, it's all nationwide. So you should use radio more like TV in that sense, that you're going to reach the entire nation. It's not a local strengthening of your media plans. So yeah, it all comes down to knowing the market. And and if you don't know it yourself, find somebody who knows.
Yeah, but it's a very special situation in Germany because it was after the Second World War where it split up the radio frequencies. Because it was really about not using radio as a multiple media for...
I never knew that.
The dark history of Germany. Something learned, yeah. But that's the reason why it is. But that's also why we in Germany have to explain that radio is a big medium, a big opportunity sometimes to activate, which is really great. So coming back, I think one hot topic, which is basically everywhere now in the advertising, is the development of CTV linear TV, moving to CTV. And of course, for us as DCMN, it's a big, big thing. So, but what is here the development in the Benelux market, and how do you see it, you know, compare it to maybe Germany or the UK and get a feeling for it?
I think the most remarkable thing is that TV is still, I think, the step one in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, I've heard the strategy is now CTV first and then TV to optimize. In the Netherlands, TV is still by far the most efficient way to reach the masses. But CTV is, of course, but ratings, linear ratings are in decline as all over the world. So CTV is very much up and coming. But although the inventory isn't really there yet for advertisers.
Yeah.
Prime Video only started with a soft launch in the Netherlands on the 26th of August this year. So only for a month and a half. In Belgium, they haven't started yet. They'll start next year. Netflix doesn't have an ad tier, and Disney is not active in Belgium with their ad tier. So is that because of the strong local platforms? I don't know. But at least it's clear that the inventory is not as developed as it is in Germany and for sure the UK. But that's interesting because that does mean that the high CPMs that we're seeing now, they're going to be lower. When I was at the Disney offices in London, they told me about the CPM development in the US once there was more competition there. And they dropped also from 38 to 21 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm looking forward to that because the CPM right now is still very high, at least. If you compare 18 plus CPMs.
Yes.
On the other hand, if you can use interesting data segmentation in your campaigns on connected television, then of course you can cut out the waste and then the CPM is justifiable.
Yeah.
For instance, in Belgium, we have a DPG. Because in Belgium, somehow there's more possible with data. The Netherlands is basically just social demos, social demo targeting. In Belgium, at DPG, we can use retail data from the biggest supermarket and the biggest pet store. Mm-hmm. Meaning that, let's say you're a dog food brand and you want to advertise. If you then compare TV to CTV, TV is still a lot cheaper in terms of cost per GRP and CPM. However, at CTV, connected TV and BVOD, you can cut out the 70% waste for them of people who don't own pets.
Yeah,
And then the CPM can be three times as high to have the same effective CPM for them. Because for them, somebody who doesn't own a pet is actual waste. Of course, for companies with broader products or services like Vinted or HelloFresh, waste isn't really waste. But for advertisers like that, enriching your campaigns with data is super, super powerful and can be a game changer.
Amazing. Yeah. I think this is really about comes down to know the market, know what opportunities you have, you know, because I think even we talk about the Benelux market, but it's very, very obviously very complex. So what is your takeaway? And maybe just looking at the next 1 or 2 years, where do you think the markets will develop?
In terms of CTV, I think that's most interesting because linear TV will develop just... Of course, it will stable out a little bit, but it will always be there, I think.
Yeah.
But in terms of CTV, a negative thing would be that we're already seeing that impact of an impression is becoming smaller because the ad pressure is becoming higher. In Videoland in the Netherlands, they initially, like 2 years ago, there was only one pre-roll and then it became two. Right now, there's three sometimes. And there's also other platforms where you have like 9 or 12 mid-rolls, which means that it's like a TV break. And then one of the key US for BVOD or connected TV is gone because it's way too long and you don't have the impact. And then this higher CPM is definitely not justified. So that's going to diminish the impact. On the other hand, we have more competition coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, like I said, Prime Video. Once Netflix comes, it will also have a huge impact. And more players will mean more competition, more impressions, lower CPMs. So then that will, of course, offset the lower impact. But I think that's definitely, if either of those get exaggerated, then it's either very good or bad for advertisers.
Yeah. My last question for you, Jos, is why do you think if a brand is thinking about, you know, entering the Benelux market, why do you think right now is a good moment to do that?
I think it's always been a good moment. Whichever way you look at it, it's a sizable market with affluent people who are open to trying new things, to trying new brands, to trying new ways of payment. So I think it's always been interesting to come to the Netherlands. If you have a lot of marketing budget and you can basically buy the entire market share, that's nice. But even if you don't have that, there's definitely ways with the strong local players to reach your audience effectively. And like I said, that threshold having impact on moving the needle is lower because of the densely populated area that we're talking about. Yeah.
Fantastic. Jos, it was a big pleasure doing this podcast with you. Thanks so
You're
much for coming over. And this was the Do Change Marketing Now podcast version with Jos Lakeman, country head of DCMN in the Benelux. And if you want to do a campaign or thinking about it or need advice to how to successfully enter the Benelux market, then reach out to Jos Lakeman. You can find him on LinkedIn or to me, and I'm happy to make an introduction at hello@dcmn.com. Was fantastic to have you here. And next time on the Do Change Marketing Now podcast, we dive way deeper into a lot of topics when we talk about more of total video data. Okay, so and what data we can use to do a great CTV campaign, you know, in all the markets.
You have a smart person at the other side of the
table. Already a super smart person. Thank you very much, Jos.
You're welcome, Matt.